Hello and welcome to the Biz News Briefing. And tonight we have a good news episode for you. We'll be talking to the Chief Executive of FirstRand, the Minister of Agriculture, and a Springbok star who's shaking up things around the world. He's not still playing rugby, but he's doing some big stuff in the business front. But first, in today's most important business news headlines, well, the battle for number one in Africa's telecoms has suddenly heated up. It is the result of a deal today by Vodacom to acquire an additional 20% of Safaricom in Kenya. That means that in future, Vodacom will bring Safaricom, which is the major operator in Kenya with about two-thirds of that market, and of course also the M-Pesa operation, which is very big in Africa, including here in South Africa, that can be consolidated into the Vodacom account. That means brought in. And the reason for that is Vodacom now owns 55% of the shares. It came at quite a price. Vodacom announced today that it had bought the additional 20% for more than 30 billion rand. The majority of it from the Kenyan government, which needs the money, so it's privatizing, but still retaining 20% of Safaricom, and then 5% of the shares coming from Vodacom's parent, the UK-based Vodafone business, which is a multinational. It makes it a really interesting race now between MTN and Vodacom. MTN slightly ahead still on market capitalization. What that means is if you took all the shares on the stock market and owned them all, what would it be worth? MTN is 288 billion rand, big numbers, whereas Vodacom is 272 billion rand now. In terms of revenue, though, it's very, very close. On the annualized figures, on the most recent financial statements, MTN is just ahead, 213 billion rand over an annualized full year, as against 210 billion rand for Vodacom. So it's almost like the Dricus du Plessis challenges that we saw in cage fighting back then between these two big heavyweights. Not such good news this morning that we woke up to. The U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio had another swing at what he describes as the ANC-led South African government. He used this and quite a bit of strong language as well to explain why next year America will be inviting Poland to the G20 and not South Africa. His point was that South Africa has fallen off the top 20 economies globally, and that Poland is now in there, and it does help that, from his perspective, that Poland is a friend of the United States, as whereas we seem to be, well, boxing with them as much as MTN is with Vodacom.
Like a soapy breakup scene, selling your car can be an emotional experience.
Just how dramatic was the car selling experience?
Not dramatic at all. I did my research, and We Buy Cars was by far the best price.
Very not dramatic. But I like drama.
I was standing there watching my phone, waiting for the money to get in, and there it was.
Yes. Car. Driving.
We Buy Cars. The easiest way to sell your car, by far.
I wouldn't mind a little more drama. Anybody bring me some tears?
In an interview today, the chief executive of our most valuable bank, FirstRand, Mary Vilakazi, urged businesses in South Africa to look past the headlines because they are unhelpful. But she suggested that instead of getting despondent, we should rather look at the actual relationships between South African businesses and those in the United States, and indeed with US technocrats. And she said those remain solid. Well, Mary is the feature of our first deep dive for today. And this came on the back of Tuesday's operating update, trading update from FirstRand. What they do is ahead of the half year and the full year results, companies in South Africa, the big ones in particular, like to let their shareholders know how things are going. They've now entered into what is called a closed period, so they can't talk between now and between the end of the week and when the results are released, which is in March. So it's quite a dead time. So they like shareholders to not sell their shares due to not knowing what's actually going on in the company. So that's why they have these trading updates. And although that's very solid and strong, and I don't think any FirstRand shareholder will be disappointed reading the trading update in the way the company is performing. For the rest of us, the real story is in their reading of the South African economy.
At the moment, we are feeling quite constructive around the opportunities that are going to present themselves. So, you know, I guess the environment that we are in, we've seen the latest GDP print. It was the fourth consecutive uplift, actually, I think in GDP growth. We're moving from a very low base. So I guess, Alec, but we take comfort in the fact that we're moving in the right direction. We are starting to see credit extension lifting. And this time around, it's actually driven by corporates and you know, medium-sized businesses. Remember in the past, whenever we saw a credit cycle, it would be consumer-led, which is not really what South Africa needs. So that being led by corporates and commercial, we think that's a constructive cycle. The structural economic reforms should again continue to provide corporates really with an opportunity of doing more. I think Transnet is already showing what can happen. You know, the fact that we're getting locomotives that will be refurbished in Rosslyn, as announced yesterday. I mean, those are the kind of things from a fixed investment point of view that the economy requires. So on the back of structural economic reforms, we think there's more that can come here, that it's obviously good for medium-sized and small businesses in time to come. So, yeah, so we are hoping to capture and I think really facilitate quite a lot of productive capital formation on the back of the structural economic reforms and businesses that see opportunity and want to borrow money to invest in the economy.
That full interview is in what we call the director's cut. You'll find that at biznews.com/briefing. Yesterday afternoon, I caught up with the Democratic Alliance leader, John Steenhuisen, to quiz him on some criticism that has been very publicly made about his leadership and other issues of a personal nature. The conversation, though, did also turn to his portfolio, agriculture, where I asked him for a message to South Africa's farmers who are at the moment really struggling due to the foot and mouth disease epidemic.
The first thing to say is that we hear you and see you, and you know, we've listened to the pleas. I want to make it very clear that since I became minister, I've done a number of very key interventions that have never been done before in South Africa. The first of those was making it possible for industry bodies like the Red Meats Industry Body, the Milk Producers Organization, to purchase vaccines through government, but directly with the Botswana Vaccine Institutes, that they can build up vaccine banks for their members. That was never allowed before. I've also announced in the last fortnight a policy change in that we're going to follow the same model that Brazil, Argentina, and some of our other contemporary countries have used to get on top of foot and mouth disease, and that is to set about a vaccination of the entire national herd. It's become very clear that the efforts that we've used to date are not working. People are not respecting the disease management areas. People are still moving animals, despite the fact that there are restrictions. People are still selling animals. People are still taking animals across borders. And obviously, it's impossible for us to block every road in the country to prevent this from taking place. So drawing lines on a map that are in an office in Pretoria isn't going to get the disease under control. So what we're about to embark upon now, and we've already started, is a mass vaccination campaign.
We close off the week with Flip Funimava. He is a Springbok rugby star, now retired, who is a business strategy consultant in France and the co-founder of the LACA Network, which brings together SAFRs from all around the world. My colleague Linda van Tilburg caught up with Flip this week.
Former Springbok lock Flip Funimava has swapped the scrum for the boardroom and is now a strategy consultant in Biarritz, France, bringing the same high-performance lessons he learned on the field to business leaders around the world. As a proud South African abroad, he's also a co-founder of the LACA Network, the fast-growing platform that keeps South Africans connected wherever they are. Speaking to us from France, he calls Cope's Rossi Erasmus a true visionary and says the Springboks are only at the tip of the iceberg of emerging talent.
So we need to constantly evolve as athletes. It's like your main aim is to constantly be better. Every year you need to reflect on how you went and then become a little better. And I'm finding the same works in business. It's just little steps. So I'm a strategy consultant. Linda, so before you fall asleep, I guide leaders and help them to make the difficult decisions, to make decisions as to where they're playing, how they want to win, what products that the market need, just a little bit, get leaders out of the day-to-day work and make them, take a high level view of the business and just see what is going on and can we see the wood for the trees, you know. I believe in role models and what they mean, and through the whole of my career, I've had incredible role models, you know, biggest living legends, probably, you know, a guy like Rossi Erasmus, which I had the privilege as a student to play with and then to play under as a coach, and much of the innovation and that carries through into the rugby world today, you know, is something that we can use in the business world. At Rossi and his whole team of coaches, we have to say, and players, they're doing incredible work as Springboks, and I think we are going into an exceptional generation of talent that the Springboks can find, and also, you know, I very strongly believe that we're only at the tip of the iceberg in terms of talent that is coming through. If we see the talent currently at Kramer Week, currently at under 21s, etc. There's so much talent still coming through South Africa. The aim of any South African living abroad is to unite the South Africanness. I'm very bullish on South Africa and South Africans and what we do. And, you know, like myself, many of us are overseas for whichever reason, and we've got a hunger to make South Africa work. And I think the LACA Network is a great vehicle to do that. You know, you don't have to be, an Elon Musk or a Rupert or et cetera to have a positive effect on South Africa. It's normal everyday South Africans, everywhere across the country that make a lot of difference.
Thanks for investing your time with us. We look forward to being back in your company on Monday. Until then, cheerio.